I was teasing my wife that last song that we were singing. I don't know. You know, sometimes we all have different ways of saying different words. Some people say washcloth. Some people say washcloth, right? Some people say crayon, which is the proper way. My wife likes to say crown. Anybody else say crown? I guess there's more than just my wife that says that. But so when I sang that song this morning, I really pronounced crayon, not crown. Oh, they crayons.
There's no L. I see
them.
Don't you see me
L? It's like Wednesday, right? Thursday. That comes after Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to be with you folks this morning. We're going to go ahead, and continue in our study of the different gifts that the scriptures speak about. There's three lists, I guess three of the most common lists. One is in Ephesians 4, the other one is in Romans 8. We'll go there eventually. I think it's Romans 8. And the other one, of course, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we've been the last little while. And I'm going to continue to work through this, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. And we've got some of the gifts down. I guess the first six we've looked at, some of these different gifts cross the list. So you'll see the same gifts referenced a couple of different times in a few different places in the New Testament. So we won't revisit those same gifts again as we go through these three different lists we're going to look at, those three that I mentioned, Romans, Ephesians, and here in Corinthians. So we won't revisit the same gifts again, but we're going to try to make sure that we look at all the unique and individual gifts. And there's probably other gifts. There's a lot of speculation. Some people go through this and they find, 30 different gifts. Some people find 50 different gifts. Some people only find 8 or 6 specific gifts. So, there's some differences in how we identify, biblically speaking, what the gifts are, and also in how we see them in our own lives. But we know this. There are different gifts. Some of them are very obvious. We see them in each other. And, of course, biblically, they're very clear and very obvious. There may be other gifts that cross over, and maybe we call them different things. There's the gift of helps, and then there's the gift of ministry. Well, very similar gifts. And same as the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. Very similar gifts. There might be some little differences, but quite similar. So, anyway, when we go through, or as we go through these lists, if there's a gift there that you haven't heard that, you're accustomed to hearing about, or maybe a gift that you haven't heard before, that might be the reason why. So there's always some little variances in the different gifts. Anybody ever hear of the gift of the help of government or the gift of governance? It's one of the gifts that's not as commonly known, although it is clearly referenced here in Scripture. We'll get to it at some point. So anyway, as we go through this, the point of the idea is to understand what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. What are they? And to help ourselves identify them in ourselves and in each other. And there's three ways that we can identify our gifts. We've looked at these a couple of times. One is through the Bible. We read about them as we're doing. And we can identify the gifts based on what we learn about them. So the gift of faith, someone with a uniquely strong type of faith. And we would say, well, they must have the gift of faith because they're always so faithful and nothing seems to waver in their lives. And we might be right to say that. And then also through other people, of course, we find out. Someone would say, you have a real gift of faith or whatever the case might be in teaching or whatever gift they can identify. And then finally through prayer. We pray that God would reveal our gifts to us. We pray that God would use us and give us different gifts that we could be usable for Him. So when it comes to gifts, this is the reason why we're looking at it. So we can identify them in each other, identify them in our own lives, and then thirdly, to utilize them, to make sure that we're using our gifts, not hiding our talents, as it were, to use the word talent in a little different way, but using them for God's glory, using them for the work and the benefit of the church and the kingdom of God. Remember, the reason for the gifts is for edification, to build the church, to glorify God, and the place we get our gifts, so the person we receive our gifts from is the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't create them ourselves, and we let the Holy Spirit divvy them out, and then we utilize them. So anyway, just a few opening comments about the gifts that we've been looking at so far. I want to just quickly go through what we've looked at, and then we're going to get into the gift of discerning. Or discerning spirits here this morning. Let me pray, and then we'll carry on. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. for the privilege of looking at your word. And Father, help me as I simply guide us through these ideas according to your word, Lord, as we learn about these different gifts. Father, we do pray for your help, that the Spirit would enlighten us and instruct us and help us to understand clearly what your word says. And also, Lord, what our gifts might be and how, Lord, we can use them for your glory. So reveal them to us as we study through this and encourage us to be faithful with our gifts and thank you for them, Father. We often desire and even covet after things that are of physical nature that would cater to the flesh, but we sometimes overlook or undervalue the gifts that you give to us, the gifts of the armor of God, gifts of the Spirit, and these specific gifts, Father, that you give to us. So, Lord, help us to understand and bless us as we look at it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Nope. I'll turn the page and bring us to chapter 12. It's 1 Corinthians down at the bottom of my page anyway, starting in verse 8. I want to reread these quickly. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit..." Or for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. We see that reiterated over and over, these different gifts, but by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. So as we've been making our way through these specific verses here in Corinthians, trying to kind of check them off one at a time, we come to the gift of discerning spirits, or the discerning of spirits. Does anybody want to just sort of, in your own words, explain or define what is this gift, the discerning of spirits? Remember, every gift, as we think about them, we can sort of define, and that's one of the things that I've been trying to do, is help us define the gifts, because that will help us to identify them within ourselves or others. So, for example, the gift of the word of wisdom, supernatural insight from God, applied to guide others in godly decisions. The gift of knowledge is a special understanding of deep truths, doctrines within the Bible, often revealing hidden spiritual realities, someone that's gifted in being able to bring those truths out and teach them. The gift of faith, as I mentioned, the gift of healing, supernatural ability to heal someone of a disease or an ailment. That was one of the sign gifts that has ceased, at least in its specific use, that someone would have the gift of healing. Gift of prophecy, being able to boldly proclaim God's word, future revelation, truth. Of course, different than a prophet, a specific individual called by God to reveal revelation. Prophecy today is the teaching or the instruction or the revealing of that already revealed prophecy. And then finally, as I said, the gift of discerning spirits is next on the list. So what does that mean, discerning spirits? Right. So that's perfect. To be able to tell if the spirit is from God or the devil. So now we have to, well, what does that mean, the spirit? What spirit? If we're discerning spirits, we think of spirits, what do you think? What comes to mind when you think spirits? Yeah, alcohol. Yeah, that's true. So those are sometimes more closely intertwined than we realize. Spirits, interesting word for alcohol. Often alcohol controls us, so do demonic spirits, the spirits that we have to discern. So it's just interesting that there is a correlation there. So the discerning of spirits is to be able to tell if this entity, the spirit, or this presence, this individual has with them is of God or of the devil. There was one time when Jesus looked at Peter. Peter had this great idea to say, "We're never going to let you die for us," essentially. And what did Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Ooh. I'm not Satan. You know, well, when we speak from a place of false truth out of the will of God, we might very well be speaking the words of the enemy. So we have to be careful about what we believe and what we understand about truth, about God's will and God's word. Sometimes there are those that are deceitful. Some of those are deceived themselves, and they continue to teach those false truths that they've been deceived in. And others know that they're deceiving, but for filthy lucre's sake, they continue to deceive. And they're happy to do that because it makes them lots of money or fame or whatever the case might be. So the gift of discerning of spirits is a gift. And we read it here again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. So some of you would have the gift of discerning of spirits. You're very good at being able to pick out and identify when someone, a teacher, an evangelist, an individual, someone that's claiming to tell you truth is actually speaking lies and hypocrisy. I can remember being in the vehicle once with an old friend, and we hadn't seen each other in several years. This individual was on the wrong path, and they were continuing on this path. As a matter of fact, he lost his life to drugs back a number of years ago. And that was the unfortunate result of his lifestyle. It was one of my fears for this fellow. We were friends in high school and a little bit after that, and then we went our separate ways. But I remember thinking about this guy and calling him up and talking to his family different times, trying to track him down because I wanted to get together with him and pray with him and encourage him to walk with the Lord. And his family was believers, his mom and dad both Christians and some of his siblings. But he wasn't a believer. He had rejected all of those things. And I got together with him one night. I picked him up at his house, and we were going for coffee at the Irving Big Stop. He lived out on the other side of Salisbury. And I remember because of his lifestyle and the ways in which he lived his life, sometimes he was a little hard to understand, a little hard to deal with. He once lived in the woods for 3 months by himself in a tent. And when I asked him why and what he was doing, he said he was learning to juggle by himself for 3 months in a tent. And the use of drugs and mushrooms and different things that he consumed aided him in his process. All it really did was continue to destroy this poor fellow. But we got together one night. As I said, I picked him up, and the moment he got in my car, the very moment I sensed an uneasiness in my spirit. I sensed that this was going to be not easy and that there was something off. And the whole conversation, and we didn't drive very far, but from his house to the gas station or the Tim Hortons, I knew by the time, before I even got to the Tim Hortons, it was not going to be a sit-down visit. It was going to be a drive-through coffee. And dropped them off, and I did what I could and shared what I could, but the whole time I could feel the attacks, the oppression, the resistance. And it wasn't what you would expect. It wasn't that he was, you know, cussing or blaspheming me or hating me or my God, but it was the way in which he was trying to correct my beliefs and in a very mischievous and strange way. I'm trying to get the point across. I could discern, and I think most people could in this case, that there was something off about his spirit, something off about what he believes and how he was being deceived. In other words, I had discerned some false truth within his thinking. That's just an example. That's sort of my experience with that. There are many people out there that when we as believers who know the Word of God listen to them, we can say right away, that's not true. And when we do that, we're in a sense discerning the spirits within them. We're trying the spirits, and we're discerning which are evil and which are good. There are those that are gifted to be able to do that so well that we need them within the church because they can help us identify those false teachings. Let me share a couple of verses here to turn to, and then I want to read their definition. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to go ahead and read that in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then another verse in 2 Timothy. Let me read the definition while you turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. The gift of discerning of spirits, the God-given ability to recognize whether a spiritual influence, teaching, or doctrine is from God, from human sources, or from deception. And pretty much what Nancy said. It is the ability to say, no, that's not biblical, that's not true. And sometimes people are fooled, and especially these days. And that's why it's so important to be able to discern the spirits, to have that gift or someone with that gift within the body to say, hey, wait a second, I know this sounds really good. It sounds like gospel truth. It sounds like the Bible, but it's not. And I can see it, and here's why. Here's where I'm coming from. And they can help us as believers to discern those spirits. Let me share a few examples of those individuals that we see even today that I believe are not in the will of God and not coming from a place of biblical truth. And we can tell that because others who are discerning of spirits and know the Word of God can show us clearly. And here's a few names. You're going to recognize some of these names. Jesse Duplantis. I remember once hearing him preach a message telling us that God didn't know the animals that he created. It was just a short little blurb, but he was saying that God didn't know the animals that he created. He just created a bunch of stuff, and then he brought them to Adam so that Adam would tell him what to call them. Now, that's a twisting of the word. We understand that. Wait a second. That's not at all what the Scripture means. And yet he taught that like it was gospel truth, just one little tidbit of many things. And when you follow him long enough, you come to realize, wait a second, he's not teaching Bible truth. It sounds like Bible truth, but there's something off about it. Not everybody picks up on that. I remember years ago, even as a young guy, listening to a fellow named Peter Popoff, and maybe you recognize that name, but it didn't take long. You know, I was just a young kid, and I remember different times thinking, this guy's off, like he's not, you know. Buy my holy water and you'll feel better, and send me $20 and that kind of stuff. These are some of the individuals that are out there. And I'll tell you, there's those Joyce Meyers. And I know sometimes people get offended at name dropping, but as a shepherd, my responsibility is to guard the sheep. So if you have any questions about anybody I ever name, you come sit down with me. We pray for these people that they would become saved, that God would rescue them from their deception. But people like Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyers and Benny Hinn are capitalizing on ignorance. And they're getting rich because people are not reading their Bibles. And it sounds so good. That's why every once in a while when you say a name, someone's like, wait a second, Kenneth Copeland, he's a good guy. No. No, he's not. And you need to understand that. And it's not being cruel to call him out. It's my responsibility and ours as believers, but also those with the gifts of discerning of spirits according to the Word of God are there to help us discern and to call them out and to say, hey, sheep, watch out. Paul does it all the time. This morning in Acts 20, we're going to look at Paul literally saying, watch out for the wolves. Literally. And so when we talk about the gift of discerning of spirits, we really need that gift in the church today. And I'm so thankful for those that have it, that spend their time studying the Word of God and can discern and say, hey, wait a second, this guy is not of the Lord. Sometimes it's obvious. I can't remember the name of this fellow. I think his first name was Todd. But he was in this whole miracle healing, word of faith, prosperity, you know. And it's the biggest one, by the way, at least one of the biggest ones, especially across America. Tens of thousands of people are giving money and are members of these churches. And I remember this one fella, again, the thousands of people. I'm salivating at that crowd thinking, oh, if I could just have them for 10 minutes, preach the gospel and repentance. And yet he went on to talk about in one segment of his sermon how God instructed him to kick an elderly lady in the head who, I'm not making that up, go ahead and Google it, that video is online. But this was what he told everyone during a message, that God had instructed him to kick an elderly lady who was ill in the head, and that's how she was going to be healed of her ailment. And so he just kind of laughed, and he had his steel toe boots on when he did it too. And this is what he said he did. And the rest of us was like, wait a second. That's, we can discern, I mean, those are some easy instances, but nonetheless, there are thousands of people. Yes, I believe that that was true. That was the working of God, and people are deceived. I remember watching a woman preaching to the congregation that was standing before her. By the way, Justin Peters, anybody heard that name before? Excellent, excellent teacher. He comes from the Reform side of things, but an excellent Bible teacher. In regards to these things specifically, he has a video series called A Call for Discernment, and it is excellent. And so he puts together all kinds of these things, and one video I remember watching was a woman standing before her church, and she started to speak in all these funny words and tongues, as according to her, and then her head went from the left to the right so fast and so many times, you could tell it was physically impossible to do that without hurting yourself. But she stood there before the audience, and for a good minute, she just swung her head as fast as you can imagine. If we tried it today, we'd all go home with neck injuries. I know I would. And you could just look at that and say, what is she doing? Is she trying to fly with her head? She was just whipping it while she was speaking. And her voice was making this weird reverberation sound. And she's just whipping her head, saying all these strange words. And everyone in the congregation, or probably many people, thought, this is of God. Look at this spiritual, you know, moment that we're a part of. Someone with this gift, the discerning of spirits, would say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and leave now. Like, what is going on? Where is the temperance, the self-control? Where does the Bible ever tell us these sorts of things? Kicking people in the head and whipping your head back and forth. And I watched another fellow, this would have been Mr. Copeland, that pretended to bleed his own blood into the communion cup and drank it and taught the people about our blood and how we can help people. Just bizarre. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look what it says. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's as we get closer to the end. No man knows the day or the hour of the second coming of Jesus Christ, but the Scripture makes it very clear that there's going to be things to look for as we get closer to the end. And en masse, exponentially, these things will increase. It says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. So these are the spirits that the gift of discerning of spirits helps us point out and say, whoa, like my poor friend. You are filled with devils. You're being influenced by doctrines of devils. And I can tell that you're not speaking from truth. You think you are, and others might be deceived, but I know the difference. And so this is what Paul is warning Timothy about. Seducing spirits. To seduce, to deceive, to lure you, to attract you, but with false truths. Doctrines of what? Devils. Not even doctrines of evil people. Doctrines of devils who use ignorant, deceived, or evil people to continue to teach their false doctrines, to lead people down the broad road of destruction and away from the narrow path. Repent and believe the gospel. And so we're warned here. Verse 2 goes on to say, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. Probably every one of those individuals I mentioned, and there's many more on my list. I don't want to sound mean, so I'll just leave them on my list. You can ask me later if you want to know who to watch out for. But, you know, when you follow these people long enough, whether it's Copeland and his jet, or Creflo Dollar and his million-dollar jet, or Benny Hinn and his mansions. And by the way, Benny Hinn's nephew is a gospel-believing preacher, a Christian, very influential, and he's constantly speaking about how his uncle is wrong. And he's concerned for his uncle's soul, and he wants to see him saved. But if you follow these people, there's always a money trail. And there's always a little something that will come out. You know, so-and-so was caught in a hotel room, or so-and-so was caught using this or saying that. And it's by their fruits that we what? We can know them. We can tell, hey, there's something off. And as it says here, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There's things about what they do that's hypocritical. And they don't seem to be compassionate about the truth. Turn also to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Then we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction. I'll leave the Word of Faith people alone for a little bit. But we need to be careful about this. And it's these guys that are putting out a lot of the resources that you find in Coles and Chapters, by the way. When you go to the religious sections of those, it's mostly them. There'll be a little tiny section down here with the David Jeremiah and a John MacArthur and a Bible. And then the rest of it is all New Age and all these. Paula White, by the way. Anybody heard of her? You might hear that name once in a while if you happen to have Fox News. You probably won't hear it anywhere else. But Paula White is the main spiritual advisor to a fellow by the name of Donald Trump. It's true. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, but I am saying this. I know Paula White, and I don't know what her intentions are, but I know that her teachings are not biblical. And so that's the head of a nation being spiritually guided by an individual who's spiritually deceived. This is the work of the enemy. This is what he does. Same reason why God puts Joseph in Egypt, or Esther, or Daniel, or David, right? The devil does the same thing. And he puts his spiritual advisor. Someday there's going to be the Antichrist, and who? Who's going to be his sidekick? The what? The false prophet. Right? Government and religion, the two things we don't talk about anymore. We're not very good at discerning sometimes what's going on. But those with the gift can tell. And chapter 4, verse 1 in 2 Timothy says, I charge thee, this is important, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's one, by the way, one of the reasons why as Christians we need to be careful not to be fearful, to name the enemy. Well, somebody broke into my house last night. It was terrible. They terrorized my wife and my family, destroyed the house, took our stuff and left. And I knew who they were. Oh, that's awful. Who was it? Oh, I can't tell you. I don't want to offend them. Oh, I want to know. If they show up at my house, it would be nice to be warned. No, no. I will save their reputation. You know, that doesn't make sense. What are you talking about? Who is it? I want to know. And so we have to rebuke and reprove. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say be mean-spirited. It doesn't say be cold-hearted or godless. It says be angry and sin not. But it does say rebuke and reprove. And we need to be careful to be willing to do that. To say, hey, you know, this person needs Christ. I don't wish any harm on them, but don't listen to their teaching. They're wrong. Not according to me, according to what this says. And so, again, there's those that are gifted in being able to say, no, 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 something is off about what they're teaching. Verse 3, for the time will come, latter times, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We don't want to hear it. We won't put up with it. We're not listening to it. We're going to claim to be religious, but not according to the Word of God. That's why Paul says, teach the Word. That's what we need, the truth of God's Word. They won't endure sound doctrine, but it says, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You come from monkeys. Aliens. There is, I believe this. I don't know how much you've all heard about this. I watch too much news, so sometimes I say things like everybody's aware. Like, what are you talking about? I said that to somebody the other day. I said, you heard about all the aliens on the news lately? I said, no. Where have you been? Anyway, that's just because of me. There's a good chance there's going to come a day when the government of our world will tell us it's true. We are from aliens. That's where we come from. That's who put us here. And so we're going to tell you the truth to help us all live together in a blah, 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 blah. And it sounds very bizarre, except there seems to be in the world right now a lot of steam being picked up in regards to believing this lie. It sounds like doctrines of devils to me. It sounds like fables and fairy tales. The very same thing that they would accuse God's truth of being. It's like, oh, I don't believe that God created all of us. That's silly. I believe that we came from monkeys, that something exploded, and we showed up one day, and aliens put us here. Doctrines of devils. And people are committed to it. And it's not so much that the evidence is convincing. Even evolution today, very few world-renowned scientists hold to that anymore. But it's because they don't want the truth, or they reject the truth. Discerning of spirits is important because it helps us to decipher who's lying and who isn't, what's fable and what's truth. And I want to take this into a little bit of a different direction as well. When we think about discerning the spirits, has anybody ever heard these days of phrases like good magic or white witches or white magic or even Christian witches? Okay, yeah, we've been hearing those phrases more and more. This is what comes out of doctrines of devils, of whitewashing and watering down the gospel. You begin to amalgamate the good and the bad. You take some of the poison and some of the good bread, the healthy bread, and you combine it together, and you have something that is evil and poisonous and not really any good. And so we hear a lot more of that coming around these days, and it's been going on for a while. The idea of being a good Christian witch or of having white magic and dabbling in things that God has warned us off. Suffer not a witch to live. That's about as clear as it comes when it comes to God's attitude about the occultism. And so the idea of having, you know, a Christian witch in the church? No, no. Someone who is a discerner of spirits in the church, that seems important because the Christian witch may come in. I remember I had a lady three different times she came to our church. One, she came and put flyers on our car, on the people's cars in the parking lot. I don't know if that's ever happened here, but everybody in the parking lot was getting a flyer. And I watched, and out the window when she was done, one of my deacons was there. He happened to catch what she was doing, and I kind of went like this, and he went that. He went out, and he gathered them all up. And I read them, and it was all about, you know, how we were celebrating, you know, Christmas in pagan wicked ways. And someone had found an internet site somewhere with one idea, and they ran with it, and they made their whole life about this issue. And they were wrong about the issue, but they were telling us we were blasphemers. And same thing happened at Easter time. Same thing happened with our communion service. We were all going to be banished to hell because our communion bread wasn't of the recipe and the formula of the Jews, whatever that was. Apart from no leaven in the bread, we were doing what we believed to be right. But people sometimes want to impose their own ideas. And if I can tell you all to believe this one idea, if this idea becomes the prominent fixture in your thinking, then I can lead you away with that one idea. And all of a sudden the gospel and the preaching of Christ is over here somewhere and you're hooked on tongues, or you're hooked on healing, or you're hooked on I can be rich if I just have enough faith. And it's doctrines of devils and it's deceit, and they're really good at it. Amen? You know, we just sometimes wonder, how is it possible? But it's possible. That's why there's 10,000 people sitting in that kind of a church this morning, not hearing the word of God. They're looking for the signs and wonders. Rain down the feathers from heaven and I'll feel good about myself. But don't tell me about my sin, because that makes me feel bad about myself, right? Doctrines of devils. It's named that for a reason. What about some of the different religions? False religions. I mentioned some of the false teachers and some of the false practices, the way that they deceive. But there are whole religions that are just absolutely demonic. Turn to Galatians, please, chapter 1. Can anybody... Well, let's read the verse first, and then I'll... Some of you are going to know for sure, probably all of us, but it's very interesting what God does for us in the Word of God. He gives us all of the clues, except they're not hidden. He tells us all of the warning signs. He tells us what to watch out for and what to stay away from all of the enemies out there. And here it tells us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, says, well, let's start here in verse 6. I marvel, this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, the church, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. See, it used to be, it was all about Christ and share the gospel. Jesus died, rose again. If we trust in him, we can be forgiven and saved. That's the gospel. That's the hope. So simple, so wonderful, so rich. And yet, many people are lured away from that. The epicenter of all joy and hope is Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And we remove ourselves from that onto all kinds of other things. Churches are built not on Christ, but on performance, on many different things, signs and wonders, or entertainment, or, hey, here we don't make you feel bad about your sin. Come as you are and leave the same way. That's essentially what they do. You know, just come on in here. As long as you feel good about yourself, God must have done some wonderful work in your life. The drunk raises the bottle and says, amen to that, and away he goes with another drink. It's deception. It's not true. And so in here in Galatians, it says again in verse 7, so another gospel, verse 6, verse 7, which is not another. In other words, there is no other gospel. There is no other hope. It's a different gospel. He's kind of clearing that up. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. No kidding. They want to change it and pervert it and turn it into something perverted, something vile, and then present it as a good thing. We live in a world, perversion doesn't turn people away. Perversion sometimes attracts people. You pervert anything. You change it. We call it art. We call it love. We call it God or godly. Paul calls it perversion. In another place, he calls it confusion. He just called it doctrines of devils. And so it's a matter of understanding that sometimes we're deceived. And discerners of spirits, Christians, if you're out there and you know, you have a good sense on the truth. And by the way, it's because those folks are in the Word of God. And they have this unique ability to pick up better than other Christians because it's a gift that they have, supernatural gift. And they would say, hey, be careful. I've had Christians say to me, hey, be careful with so-and-so. Oh, really? Yeah, just be careful. Okay. Any reason? I don't know, a few little things here, kind of red flags, just be careful. And then time goes on for me and this individual, and I take that advice, but I watch myself, and then lo and behold, boom. Oh, yeah, they were right. This person wasn't quite representing themselves in the way that I thought. Discerners of spirits help with these sorts of things. And the perversion of the gospel, they can tell. Verse 8, it says, but though we... So Paul says, even if we here in the church of Christ or another gospel, someone you know or respect, begins to teach you, or another person begins to preach unto you another gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So we can never say that there are many ways to heaven and God is okay with that, because Jesus said, I am the way, number one. There's only one way, and so God is not okay with confusing or lying to people and trying to convince others that your religion or your way is okay. That's why the discerning of the spirits is necessary. That's why the rebuke and the reprove is necessary. So it says, though we or even an angel preach another gospel unto you other than what you've already been taught, then that person, let them be accursed. So here's the question. Can anybody think of a religion, a prominent worldwide religion, where literally an angel showed up and said, oh, I have a new idea, a new religion for you I want you to start? Okay, Mormonism is of course the first one that comes to mind. If you know the Bible, if you've read the Bible, or if you've been introduced to the Bible, now unfortunately, if you've been introduced to the Bible after the fact, it can be really hard to change someone's mind. That's what indoctrination is. That's why we want to be brainwashed. People say, oh, you don't want to be brainwashed by the church. Oh, yes, we do. We want to be heartwashed, brainwashed, mindwashed. We want the Word of God to wash us from all the filth and the lies and the deception of this world. Because if not, we're going to be cemented in our unbelief. It's hard to change someone's mind once they've been deceived. I sat with many people. Last year we were praying for a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses. Could not convince them. Jesus was not just an angel. He was the Son of God. And they left still lost in sin and in darkness, deceived. It's why the discerning of spirits is so important. Because we need people to help us. We need those believers to stand up and to come to church and be faithful for our sake so that we have that help. And so Mormonism is one of those religions that's very clear. There's an angel literally shows up and says, here, believe this. And look at this world. Look at how many people have been deceived and have bought into this. Good people. We know some of them. Just folks, average folks, committed to something that cannot save them. Another one is Islam. Back in 600, of course, Mormonism was more recent, 1800s. Islam, 600. Many years ago, a fellow by the name of Muhammad supposedly had an encounter with an angel. Likely he did. Wasn't a good angel. Same idea. A whole religion started. And the Bible warns us, says, hey, by the way, if an angel ever shows up and says, follow me, don't do it. An angel shows up and says, follow me. And if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't have discerners of spirits, if you don't know the truth, then you can be deceived. But if you know the Scriptures, right? If anybody here today was to go home this afternoon and have a nap, and in your nap you dreamed and had a vision that an angel came to you and said, I want you to start your own religion and no longer preach Jesus, preach apple trees, whatever. And you came to church and you told me about your dream, you'd probably laugh with me and say, I know that was false. That was a crazy dream, wasn't it? I'd say, yeah, absolutely. But not everybody does that. Some people have dreams and they spend the rest of their lives trying to follow what they imagine in their mind instead of what the Word of God says. So, discerning of spirits. And I knew we were going to spend the class on this morning because it's a pretty big topic. But let me stop and ask, is there any questions or comments on any of these things? Right.
That does exist. There are people who probably have spirits that are really creepy.
Yeah. I heard someone say, I'm trying to remember it. You've probably heard it as well, but sometimes the spirits in others get irritated with the spirit in us as Christians. So those demonic entities get a little riled up when the Spirit of God comes around them. I may have experienced something similar to that at one point in my life when I was younger. But the point is that, yeah, there's a warfare going on, and some people are able to pick up on it, and it's those with this gift of discerning of spirits. They know the Word of God, they have a sense about what's going on, and the Spirit leads them. It's not that all of us as Christians can't discern. We all can. But then there are those that have this supernatural ability, this gift from God to aid the church and being able to say, hey, be careful. So-and-so, a little off base, and they're really good at kind of covering that up, but I believe that they're going to lead us in a different direction if they can. Discerning of spirits. Hey, so-and-so on the television, so-and-so that stands and preaches to all these people. This religion, this individual, this practice. You know, I remember sitting at a Bible study once with a young girl that was explaining to me how it was okay that she used tarot cards as a Christian, and that God was using her to help people in her life, you know, because she was using tarot cards. I said, well, no, you're not. You're disobeying God, number one. God said to stay away from all of that. He makes it very clear. Don't dabble in the occult in any way, shape, or form. Fortune telling, future reading, card reading, you know, whatever it is. That's not what God wants for us. So discerning of spirits. Those with that gift really help us. Any other comments or thoughts?
But they could discern which was demon possession and which was actually
mental illness.
But when she came back here, she realized everything was included in mental illness. Mm. So we don't seem to have any discernment about who has the spirit of the devil in them.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, what a great trick, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Just Nancy was referencing that in some countries, you go to a place like Haiti, they figured it out. And God has gifted many individuals out there to discern the difference between demonic spirits and the truth, because there's so much voodoo and so much idol worship and occultism that takes place. But over here, we dismiss everything as a mental illness. Matter of fact, some of that stuff, we're like, oh, we should celebrate it. We should promote it. People that have what at one time would have been detrimental to them, and we would help them, now we say, no, let's leave them that way and just accentuate it. Tell them it's a good thing. And we have to be careful about that. Sometimes it seems like it's a good thing, but maybe it isn't. Maybe it's demonically inclined people or possessed or oppressed people that have believed lies, and they're themselves deceived and they're deceiving others. We need to be careful. The discerning of spirits. And when it comes to simply dismissing everything as a disease or as a sickness or as a way of thinking, then what we do is we push the devil out of the details. We say, well, Satan is not involved in this. Don't call this sin. It's a thinking, it's a way of thinking, it's a way of life, or it's a disease, it's an ailment. And we need to help, but not eradicate. We keep them in their sin, in their prison, and comfort them as best we can while they're in prison, but not set them free with the truth. And it's deception. So any other thoughts or comments on any of these things? I don't think we need to go any further with this one, but
the devil's trying to kick you in, and still preach the gospel.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. The thief on the cross, in one way, as he was laying or hanging there in his last few moments, perhaps hours, said to the other thief, essentially, we're getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing amiss. And even in his time of suffering and judgment for his own crimes, he still had a word of truth on his mouth as a brand new convert, as it were. A lot of times that's sometimes the best way to, or the best time to say the truth, like Stephen as he was about to lose his life. So you're absolutely right. In season and out of season. It's not always easy, but we can still do it. This gift, let me read my last little paragraph. This gift may be recognized over time as a believer grows in Scripture, in faith, in prayer, reliance on the Holy Spirit. A person might notice a pattern when they clearly recognize doctrinal errors or feel a deep check in their spirit about certain influences affirmed by godly counselors and other mature believers. just in regards to identifying this gift within yourself. It's a combination of spiritual maturity, experience, and affirmation from the church community. And again, as I said, there's been a couple of different times when I've had to say to someone, hey, thank you for the heads up. You know, I wouldn't have caught that, or I didn't notice that about so-and-so, that this might have been going on, but you were right. And they didn't have any inside information. But because of God's leading and that Spirit impressing upon them those concerns, they were able to warn me. And it's a very helpful gift to have, the discerning of spirits. Any other thoughts as we close here this morning? Well, appreciate your listening ears. And this is, again, just one of the other gifts here mentioned in Corinthians and the discerning of spirits. We'll start again next week with the gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation, and there's a few more to get into. So those will be short classes, I'm sure. Anyway, all right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here again this morning. And God, as we look at your word, as we discuss, discover, learn, remind ourselves, Father, to the intent that we would be aware of what our gifts are, aware of what the gifts are, that we can utilize others with these gifts. If I can go to the one who has the gift of wisdom or the gift of faith or the gift of knowledge or the gift of discerning spirits, whatever the case might be, I can utilize them as part of the body of Christ. And though I may not have these gifts, I can rely upon those who do. And so, Lord, help us as believers to be faithful with our gifts, faithful with our walk. Lord, help us to be in the Word, that we could be able to identify what our gifts are and utilize them within the body of Christ. Lord, for those that maybe have been frustrated or discouraged and are unable to use their gifts to benefit the church because, Lord, of the difficulty they're in, we pray, God, that you would deliver them. Release them, Lord, from whatever ailment or sin or deception or trouble that is keeping them away from the body of Christ, wherever they might be, Lord, because the church needs those who are gifted in these different ways. So, Lord, help us to be faithful. Thank you again for your word that we can learn about these things. We pray for your blessing on the rest of our service here this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks again, folks.